Hello, everybody. This is Jesse Jackson filling in for Mashawn Williams with the Cutting Edge Show. Hope everyone's having a great time. Today, I'm joined by Shara, and we're going to be discussing a pretty touchy topic today. Mashawn's not feeling well, so she will be back next week. If for those who was listening to hear her great and powerful voice, but for today, we will be filling in for her. So today's topic, we're going to be talking about, the Me Too movement in today's 2020 with a focus on sexual harassment, sexual assault, and also what some people like to call the gray area. Cher, are you on with me?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, awesome. And for any of our callers that have any comments or questions or I want to put a little flavor to the show, go ahead and call 516-531-9540 and press 1. So, Cher, kicking things off, I guess, how do you feel about the topic?
I feel like it's a very gray area. You might
what
have
is
heard that
area?
Term before.
Yeah, what does that mean?
The gray area is kind of like that it's the area where there is actually not exactly said consent. So this may involve something sexual taking place and someone may not have actually said that they wanted to do it, but they did not also say that they did not want to do it. Yes.
And do you think that type of activity is okay? I mean, like, I guess, how do you feel about that?
Well, I think the issue with that is that no one's saying that they want to do it and no one's saying that they do not want to do it possibly. So then that's where somebody can come back later and say, I didn't want to do that. But it's like you didn't say you wanted to do it, so then what's the next step? And I think that's where we get some of those Me Too movement things coming in, where they're like, hey, this girl felt that she shouldn't do it on the inside, but she didn't say anything. So they want to say, like, possibly, well, this girl got raped, even though nothing was said, and I don't exactly agree with that. I feel like you have to speak up. Like, I understand people are scared and they don't want to, but I feel like this is something you absolutely have to speak up about.
Most definitely, most definitely. And two, I feel like, especially in this new time, in this new era, where, the Me Too is so prevalent, I think, it's a very trying time, especially for men. I feel like on my end, as a man, that, this can sometimes come out and be more of an attack on men and can be weaponized. And so, like, I do think, there should be caution, but at the same time, what I always like to emulate in general, not just for men, but most especially for, our women out there, that, you have a right to decide who gains access to your body, You have a right to be able to say no and to not be subjected, to unwanted sexual activities, and it's important to know that you do have that right and that you should feel empowered and that you should feel bold and, to be able to say yes if that's what you want or to say no if that's what you want or, whatever it is that your desires are, But I do think communication is very important. And the reason why I specify communication, because what about women who say no, but no doesn't mean no? What about the women who, they might tell you no, but they really want you to continue to pursue? In 2020, that's a really difficult challenge for men. One of my favorite artists back in the day, R.I.P. Aaliyah, she had this little phrase in one of her songs where she says, "If first you don't succeed, would you dust it off and try again?" Well, today, And in Me Too movement, that's considered sexual harassment. What do you think about that?
Okay, to backtrack a little bit, when you're saying how do you know that no really means no, and I understand where you're getting with that, but in the times we live in today, no should mean no to you. Even if you think it really doesn't mean no to you, take it as no, and it's better to be safe than sorry.
I agree 100%. Now, that's just crawl down that rabbit hole a little bit. You know, and if you have any callers, you know, like I said, always, if you have any questions, comments, or anything you want to add to the show, feel free to call 516-531-9540, press 1, and I will get you live on the air right now. But
you got 5073 on the line.
5073, how you doing today?
I'm fine.
Awesome, awesome. Did you have a comment? Did you have a question?
I'm trying to figure out what you all are talking about. And I think you all are talking about what this gray area is. Is it yes or is it no? And I think that most men should know when somebody says no, take it like it is. Don't assume that they mean yes.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of men say, just the way, if somebody says no to sex, it should be left as that. And furthermore, I'll go a little further. And then I think sex should be an agreement between two people, not just one. Just because one person might want something, and I feel like the other person don't have to. It should be agreeable whenever it occurs. And I just come in, so I'm not really sure about the two guests on the show and their opinions, but I'm listening, and I will be commenting again.
Yeah, well, actually, stay online. You know, there are some people who, you know, probably came in a little bit late. So just to give you a heads up, Michonne is feeling sick tonight, so Cher and I will be, you know, hosting for this evening. So, just to clear that up, and as far as the subject, we're talking about the Me Too movement here in 2020 and how it's really affecting, the lives of people, you know, both inside of the bedroom and also outside of the bedroom. We want to really, you know, talk about, you know, sexual harassment, sexual assault, and also what some people like to call that gray area. So, with that being said,
I want to make a comment.
Yeah, go ahead.
To comment on what the caller said about yes and no, it should be a yes and no between two people. I think the gray area comes into play most times when people are probably having a sexual encounter. They're not asking, is this okay? It might happen.
Sure.
But in reality, are people really saying to each other, like giving each other that consent, asking each other these questions? I think that's not happening. And then later, I think this is more popular with women. Women are more likely to come back and say, I didn't want to do that. I feel violated after, but consent did or did not happen.
Right.
But
now,
you still participated in the act.
Well, I have a question for both.
Say something to Sierra?
Yeah.
Okay,
sure.
Sierra. I think sometimes women be telling a lie. When they come
lying about what?
I did not want that. They knew. That's what I'm saying. It should be agreed to. And you shouldn't get, you shouldn't get in situations when you don't know. Just because you kiss, it shouldn't lead you into the bedroom. Somebody.
I agree. I feel like a lot of women do that.
Before you get there. And then when they come back saying that they feel violated, it was because they wanted to. And I have to go with some of the men on some of the things that.
Now, let me ask you a question, Carla. Carla, let me ask you a question.
Okay.
I don't know what your, you know, marital status or relationship is or anything like that, but let me ask you this. if a man is pursuing you, you know, is that a turn off or a turn on?
Well, from my younger days, I'm an older woman. I let them all up front what I was going to do and what I wasn't going to do. And if they wanted to choose the next lady, I say welcome to them, because I would tell them straight up from get-go. If you, all depends on what you're looking for, and I tell you what I'm going to give you. And most of the time, when I was young, it was nothing.
Okay. So were you a virgin until you was married?
Did I say all that? Are you a virgin?
No, I am not. I am not.
Okay. Well, that's your
I wish.
Whether I was or not is mine. And I would not get out on a podcast putting my business in the street. That's what's wrong with society today. They tell other people too much. And if I thought you was somebody that I really knew, maybe I'd answer that question. I don't talk to strangers like that.
Okay. No, most definitely. So the reason why I asked the question is because when you said that you would let a man know up front, you know, what you was willing to do and what you was not willing to do, to me, you know, what that sounds like is, you know, before you even go on a date, you would acknowledge to that person, hey, later on tonight we're going to get busy, or later on tonight we're not getting busy, and you would make that up front
some dates, I would tell. Just when you tell people where you coming from up front, they know what to expect when they go out on a date with you. And if you're serious about what you were saying, they would know better. And the thing like this, because a lot of women like getting picked up in bars, but I tell you a secret by some, we got generation gap here, because when I was young, guys didn't pick me up. Pride is kept. The ones that I wanted to be with, I let them think they was picking me up. But I had already chosen them before when I doing.
I think that's relevant to today as well. I do believe. I mean, I think, you know, in our society today, you know, women really have the ultimate decision, whether, you know, it's out in the nightlife or like as a bar as you consider it to be, or at parties or whatever the case may be. You know, women know, you know, who they want and who they don't want. I think it's the men for the most, I mean, men and women both, you know, have sexual desires and things of that nature to go out on a hunt or whatever the case you might want to illustrate that to look like, right? But at the end of the day,
when I was going out, it was a whole lot safer. It's not as safe now.
Right.
So women have to be very careful about what they decide to do, because you got too many, too many diseases out there. Some are curable and some are not. So it's almost like to me nowadays, hey, I would abstain from sex.
Hey, it makes sense on my end.
Justin, you're the man on the line. So I believe we put our opinions out there about consent. What does consent look like for a man?
I mean, to a man, I can't speak for all men, but for me, I look at things, I can look at things differently sometimes, but at the end of the day, consent to me is, you know, not being pushed off and not being rejected. You know, it doesn't necessarily always have to be, yes, I want to do this, or non-consent of no, I don't want to do this. You know, it's like, you know, reading the body language, reading the chemistry, understanding what the other person wants and desires are, and communicating that in whatever manner that, you know, makes sense at that time. So, I mean, like, I do know for me, myself personally, you know, when I was out doing, you know, my thing, you know, I'm settled down now. But when I was out doing, I would ask. I was in the middle of it. Like, hey, are you okay with this? Are you good with this? You know, one of the biggest things I've always had the issue with is just making sure, like, hey, you know, the last thing I ever want to do is make a woman or be in a situation where it seems like, you know, I'm either taking advantage or I'm forcing something, you know. And as men, you know, it's scary. I'm not going to even lie. It's very scary. I mean, for me, I grew up as a black athlete in a predominantly white area, you know. So I heard all the rumors, all of the stories that, you know, that comes with it. So one of the things that my mom, you know, and my family in general, because most of my family at that time were females, you know, they ingrained, you know, ask them 50 times, you know. And to some women, I noticed, you know, that's a huge turnoff. You know, some women, you know, they respect that and they acknowledge it. You know, so, like, I think, you know, some women tell you no, but they really mean yes, you know, and they truly mean yes, you know. And I think, you know, in general, like, I think there has to be levels of communication that is both listened and understood and accepted for what it is. And it also has to be vocalized and expressed in every manner possible to make sure that the message is fully out there and also received.
Okay. Is the caller still on the line?
Yes.
So do we have any callers?
Okay. Caller.
I'm listening.
What do you think about consent if a person is high or drunk?
Oh, I don't think that's consent. If a person's high or drunk, now I can understand your point when you said when they sober up, feel like their vibes have been violated because they were not in their conscious mind to give consent. And I really don't think men should take advantage of a person when they are not conscious and knowing what they are doing. They might want to do it and they might not want to do it. I wouldn't take the chance.
What if they're both?
What if they're both high and drunk? Who initiated? you don't know who initiated what. If both of them are drunk.
I mean, does that really matter, though?
It should.
If they're both intoxicated?
If they're both intoxicated, they should be going to sleep.
Well, I can respect your opinion. You know, if we have any other calls out there, feel free to call 516-531-9546, press 1. Only thing I would say about that,
you know, 5240,
come online. I'm just going to make this one comment, then we can get straight to you. I just know, you know, whenever I, you know, partake in substances such as, you know, alcohol or something like that, typically, you know, it's a party event, it's a function, and we all, you know, trying to do the same thing, and sometimes it makes life a lot better as well. So I can agree to disagree in some aspects, and I can definitely understand that person's point of view when you definitely get into the extremes. Hey, caller, are you still on the line?
Yes, you can hear me.
Yeah, hey, caller, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. It's a good show. I want to comment on what you're saying, you know, consent from a woman. I think is always good, you know, especially in older days. Me and myself, I always like to have consent because if it's consent and both of us agreed upon on, she going to make it more freaking, more kinky. So, you know, that's always one thing that I've always, and my uncle taught me that years ago. He said when it's agreed on, but, you know, a lot of times, you know, but sometimes it was a situation where women playing hard to get. It happened to me like once or twice, women playing hard to get, they really wanted it. And one particular night, you know, a short story, one particular night, you know, she was playing hard to get, and I got flustered. I said, man, I ain't bothered with this, man. I ain't could have been dealing with it. But then later on, she said, you know, you messed up. I'm just playing hard to get, but I didn't want to keep pursuing nothing. And she keep playing silly ass games. So I said, man, the hell with this right here. But then she, I said, why you laughing? I mean, I've been just playing. I wanted you to, you know what I mean? I've been just, you know, playing, good girl playing that what's name role. But like I said, I'm just frustrated because I don't have time for that. Either we're going to do it or we're not. Not playing all this. Sure. But like I said, you know, I just think you got to be careful nowadays. and, you know, see what's going on. But a lot of women do play hard to get and still want it. So, you know, even when they say no, they still want it. So, you know, but I think it's the best to be safe. You know,
okay,
and,
caller, I have a question.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, to the caller. So I have heard this about being a difference between men and women. Sometimes women want to be chased, but that doesn't necessarily mean they want to have sex with you. Some women just want to give you a chase. Like, is that a turnoff because a woman wants you to chase her, or even maybe not chase, put in effort to maybe date her? I think guys get that confused with, you're making me chase you to have sex with you. And sometimes women just want to be chased to date, and it's not really anything sexual.
Yeah, I think some of my serious relationships, well, I mean, some of my longest serious relationships has been the women that I had to chase. I had to, you know, work for it. This wasn't going to give it up easy. I think that's the best scenario. If they showing you respect and all that back, you know what I mean? Some women that, honestly, some women that gave it up real quick, I'm like, okay, I can't take her serious as a man. I can't take her serious. But if we going to freak or whatever, shit, I'm good. I'm down for that. But my best, longest relationships have always been females that didn't give it up easy. You know what I mean? They make me work for what I had to get. I think those are some of the – it was like three or four. But those are the best relationships. A lot of women that gave it up real quick, I'm like, okay, I'm just going to run through her. You know what I'm saying? She got the panties too quick. And so, I mean, I liked it, but I couldn't take her serious on that level. I said, okay, we're going to frick or whatever, man, but I'm on some other shit. You know what I mean? So, but the ones who gave me the longest chase in time were some of my best ones for, you know, because I had to learn them. I had to learn about communication. I had to learn about the stuff they really liked and didn't like. And, you know, education and stuff, and they like a lot of different stuff. And so, that for me, when I get to having sex with a woman, if I didn't like you, I'm ready to haul ass. I mean, I'm just ready to go. So, because you haven't, we really have nothing to talk about. So, because you haven't gave me that conversation or that intellectual conversation about different stuff. So, you know, if I'm there and I'm like, okay, once I'm done, I like, because a lot of times I have sex with a woman and I go back home to my apartment or whatever. I like, man, I ain't, you got to leave. Yeah, I got to go, man. I got something to do. I just want to get the hell out of there. And I go home, take a shower, and just chill out and relax.
Okay, another question. So, this is also another scenario that I hear a lot. So, say you're out at a bar, club, lounge, wherever you're at, if you buy a woman a drink, does that automatically
mean to
you that we're going to go have sex tonight?
I'm going to be honest about that right there. Years ago at a reggae club, I bought a couple of drinks, and I was young then, probably about 18, maybe 19. I bought a couple of drinks, and I thought I was going to have sex with the female, but this other drug dealer, he came in, took her home, and I was frustrated because she kept, you know, I'm buying drinks or whatever. So, my personal opinion about buying drinks, I'm like, for him, if I'm buying drinks, if I'm buying drinks, I want some sex. And I used to tell him this man a lot of times, hey, I got some drinks at the house, man. You go get some drinks in the house. That's my thing. If I'm buying any, I was so frustrated and so hurt that night. I said, you know what, man, if I'm buying anything, I want something for my money. And that's just the way I've always been. If I'm buying drinks, I'm not going to buy drinks, three or four drinks. That night I had bought two Long Island iced tea, something else. And I'm out of almost $30. Somebody else just come in there with goals in his mouth, tattoos on. She start laughing with him and leave the club. I'm sitting there like a damn clown, and that's my head really bad. I said, never again. Never again would I be buying drinks. I'm just saying me now. Never again. I never bought another drink unless we doing something. Nah, I don't buy drinks. I got drinks at the house. I always have some liquor at the house. You know what I mean? Or we'll stop at the liquor store and grab something because liquor stores be open late. Nah, that's the only time I bought drinks. I never did it again. Nah, because I was fucked. I'm not going to buy nothing.
Sure. Let me ask you the same question. If you're at a club, you know, and a man is buying you drinks and things of that nature, first question is, you know, what does that signal to you?
what does it signal to me? It signals to me that I should drink this drink and then try to dodge this guy.
Okay. So you're saying you're just using that guy.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm
saying. So when we switch it, when we switch it back over, you know, to, you know, when we look at, you know, the sex aspect of things, a lot of women have, you know, felt used, you know, where they might have sex with a man willingly. They might, you know, have consensual sex, have a great time. And then a man blows her off, and then all of a sudden now this woman is in her feelings, and she feels like she was taken advantage of, and that now she regrets the act. And now she comes back and say, hey, I really didn't want to do this. And the reason she really didn't want to do it because the guy blew her off afterwards. You know, so what do you say about those situations?
I feel like, you know, if you feel that way as a woman, you just got to take that loss. Take that L, because you did it. Like, at the end of the day, if you don't want to do something, you don't do it, and you have to speak up. If you don't speak up, it's not fair to a man to say, oh, I feel like you raped me or you took advantage of me. That's not fair if you didn't make that clear.
What if the man did? What if he emotionally did? What if he knew your weaknesses? What if he was a smooth talker and he knew exactly what to say to get exactly what he wanted, and he was simply manipulating you through the process and to get to the prize that he wanted?
I mean, I think, you know, if you're being manipulated, I mean, we all manipulate people at some point. I don't think manipulation is rape.
Mm-hmm. But would that be in a gray area, or would that be outside of that gray area?
Manipulation, if you're just doing something in order to get something, I don't really consider that a gray area. We all put on a front at some point in our lives. Sometimes we have to go to work and put on a front. I mean, people go to church and put on a front. I mean, I feel like that's just a part of life.
That's part of the game.
I don't feel like that's rape or in a gray area. But one thing I do want to touch on, though, is when you involve, when we mentioned, like, drugs and alcohol, I feel like that's a whole nother subject, especially when it comes to a man and woman relationship, because men can become more aggressive. And in that instance,
you have a caller.
I've heard.
You're 241.
Okay. Men can become more aggressive. And I mean, that I feel like is a different story, because if a man's becoming aggressive, at that point, a woman can become scared. And we all know that men are physically stronger. So I feel like there are scenarios when men are responsible. I just don't feel like, oh, I really didn't want to do that and I did do it just because you felt bad about it later, or it wasn't what you, didn't turn out to be what you want it to be. I feel like those are different things. But yes,
gotcha.
You have a caller.
2041, are you on the line with us?
Yeah, I'm on the line with you.
Hey, did you have a comment or a question?
Well, I guess they had a comment. I know it seems like it could be a gray area, but I don't think there is a gray area. I think you probably answered that question about if there's a gray area, about just communication being the key and just being upfront, even with the like being manipulated and things like that. I think there is like a responsibility of both parties to communicate. Cause even in this situation, like you saying, checking in and be like, hey, do you really want to do this? I think ruining the moment versus the person feeling like they're being raped is like, I think the person feeling like they were raped is outweighs ruining the moment.
Most definitely. And just to clarify that, you know, I was scared to death. As a child, you know, I put some information out there. You know, as a child, I was in middle school, and I was a black athlete, you know, star athlete. predominantly white school, and there was a lot of racism and things of that nature going on. And I was accused of sexual assault in the sixth grade. And keep in mind, I did nothing to the female. I did nothing. They grabbed me. And I was the one that was accused of sexual assault, you know. So from that traumatic experience with me and, you know, my mom, you know, grilling into my head, you know, I asked four or five, I might ask 10 times in the process, hey, you sure we still good? Is everything still all right? You know, because of that traumatic experience. So I can definitely understand, you know, checking in and making sense. But let me ask you, caller, have you ever been in a situation where you wasn't sure? And if so, what did you do? Or if not, or either way, you know, what advice would you give to someone?
I guess in that situation, no. Well, I know as far as, like, best practices, as far as checking in, always participate in that. But I think advice I would give is just reach out to, really have conversations like this just openly and candidly. You know what I mean? And also just to gain best practices. And also, I mean, not ignore, and I don't know, speaking my point of view now, but the way things have been done, or the way, like, I guess even the cat and mouse game of whatever you can say with relationships and all that stuff, the way things have been done doesn't mean we necessarily have to keep doing things that way. I mean, you can progress and do things differently. And just being open to that.
That makes sense. Sure, did you have any questions for this caller?
More of a comment. I definitely believe there is a gray area. There can be a gray area. But I believe the Me Too movement has just gone too far with the I did this willingly, but I was thinking in my head I didn't want to do it. So you raped me because I thought in my head I didn't want to do it. Those are the type of things that I think is ridiculous, and I think, like, at that point, like, that's your fault.
What do you think about that, caller?
Like I said,
I thought you were about to say something else.
That's ridiculous.
What do you think about that?
I think I think you are. You are right as far as, like, I wouldn't group it all together and be like, you know, anybody that says anything. But I would look at every case individually, because, I mean, there are some that I was like, if that happened on the national stage with the, I guess you would say, Me Too movement, that wasn't too sure about. But I think if a person isn't given or if they feel pressured into it and things like that, I mean, I'm not sure as far as the legal ramifications of what can happen with that. But as far as them, it being just solely, I don't think it's just solely their responsibility to speak up. That's all I'm saying. Like, the two parties need to communicate. Sorry about that. I got my doggy out here. He wants to communicate too. Anyway. But I think both parties should communicate. And I know things were different in the past, but I think, you know, we have the opportunity to teach our boys that, you know, it's just as much your responsibility to speak up and communicate, and which is different. And I know everybody won't agree with, but I think we have an opportunity to make everybody feel safe in those situations. But I can understand your perspective on that and on the gray area.
Well, yeah, definitely. Also, I would like to say another scenario often that I hear with women, I'm just using women and men because men are just stronger than women physically.
True.
So there are scenarios I hear of women like, a man wouldn't keep his hands off me. He's pressuring me. Like, I'm like, no, moving his hands. We're going back and forth, and he's just still coming on to me. And I eventually just give up because I want it to stop, so I just give in. I feel like situations like that are different. Like, there's levels to everything. Like, there are some situations I feel like when men can just take advantage of the situation because it's like you are bigger, you are stronger, and I just want this to be over with. What do you think about that?
Wow, like when you say, yeah, like in those situations, I mean, that's, in my opinion, I mean, that's clearly overpowering someone. And I guess if they don't want it to be just a completely terrible, I mean, some people just like, hey, I'm just going to get through this and try to move on. And I think that's great. And I can understand, I guess, what you're saying about gray areas when, I guess, when it's not that point, when it's, that's not the issue. But I think always, I know I keep falling back on this, but I guess just always checking in, especially when it's something like that. I know it can ruin a the moment, but I think it's better to ruin the moment than ruin somebody's life, in a sense, you know. Or at least make them feel that way.
Most definitely. Now, I got a question. I got a question just to go piggyback off of that. You know, I know Shara's been talking mostly, you know, men and women relationship. But let's say, let's throw in a twist. You know, let's say it's not a man and a woman relationship. Let's say it's a woman and a woman relationship or a man and a man relationship, right? And they're not comfortable or not used to, you know, being accepted. And it's something that they actually truly do want, but they've been told their whole lives that, you know, this is wrong, this is forbidden, you know, and they say no, but they really, you know, later afterwards, after the experience, are so happy that they did, or whatever the case it may be, you know, in that spectrum. I guess, like, how do you have any like, comments on that, or like what is your thought process on that one?
Oh, if a person has a sexual
and they could even be a man and a woman,
and regret it.
Well, not regret it. If it's like, you know, typically, you know, we normally talk about those experiences. You know, we'll put it this way. An open conversation, we normally talk about those experiences where, you know, people are, you know, pressured into doing something and regret. But psychologically, and most people when they're in those situations, most of the time when they're the aggressors, you know, they're thinking in their mind, you know, well, what about those situations where a person is pressured into it and they actually like it, you know?
Oh, dang. Like almost like a fetish type thing.
Well, not even just a fetish. Like, you can have a fetish, but, I mean, I was going to go to that point next. But right now, what I was really, you know, boiling down to, for example, there was a movie. I really can't remember the name. It was nominated for a Golden Globe. It was about a young boy, two young boys in the, growing up that were both homosexual. And they started experimenting with themselves. One goes to jail, and then later in life, you know, he gets out of jail. One's working in a cafe. I didn't even watch the whole movie, right? But in that situation at the beginning, that person was pressured, and that's truly what he wanted. But he was taught that, you know, that was wrong, that was forbidden, you know. But they truly enjoyed it.
Okay, Moonlight. Yeah.
Well, I would just say you should always ask and go whatever the answer is, even if you think it's the opposite. Like I said, it's better to always be safe than sorry. Now, if you guys are on some other freaky stuff and you have this talk that yes really means no and no really means yes, then that's a different story. But if you don't have that conversation, then I think you should go with no means no and yes means yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I agree with that. Safe words is what I think you're referring to. But typically, yes always means yes. And sometimes no can also mean yes. And if we have any other callers out there, I would like to keep this call on the line. But if we have any other callers out there, call 516-531-9540, press 1. You know, ask your questions, give your comments, you know, add some flavor to the show. But as we're continuing, you know, I think that's where we start to, you know, really muddy the gray area. You know, when you do start talking about those fetishes, you know, like when we ask, for example, when we're talking about a man pursuing a woman, you know, what if we would flip that? I know I have been in situations. There, one situation, I was in a grocery store with a couple of guys. We was buying stuff for breakfast to go back and cook. And this woman just walks up to me and gropes me. She grabs my arm. And I was completely, like, you know, appalled. But I mean, I was just like, I wasn't necessarily, you know, feeling like, I didn't feel like, oh, I couldn't throw her off me or anything like that. But it was weird. I was weirded out. I was like, what in the world? I don't know this woman. We've never met a day in her lives. And it seems like she was with a white guy. And it was a black woman. Just comes up gross. It's like, look, you're a football player. And she's massaging my arms and my muscles. And we all look at each other like, you know, I'm like, I don't know this woman. You know? And I go on.
Did you feel
life.
Violated?
In a way, yes.
Did you say anything to the woman about it?
That's a great question. Me, personally, no, I did not. I mean, I said something to my friends, like, man, wow, if I did that to her, I would be in jail by 2 o'clock. And it's 1:30. You know? That's what we said. That's what we talked about the whole way home. Now, did I say anything directly to that woman? No, absolutely not.
Okay.
You know,
let me ask you a question about that.
Mm-hmm.
So, were you mad that it happened, or were you mad that... No, or were you mad that you couldn't do it back to her without any repercussions?
Both. I'm going to be honest, both. I was upset, one, that a person felt like they could just, and it hasn't just been that one time that has happened to me. That has happened to me on numerous occasions, you know, where, you know, a woman feels like, hey, you know, I'm a woman, you know, what are you going to do? You're going to look like a pussy. You know, you're going to look like a weak man if you complain. I dare you call the police and tell them that I touched you and that you didn't want it. You know, what about that type of protection and that type of stereotyping, you know? Two, I did feel some type of way because I'm like, you know, I would love to be able to do something like that and be able to just be rejected and say, no, I'm not interested without having to face the risk of going to jail. Of course, I mean, every man would love that opportunity in life. You know, but we're not afforded that, you know, because we're men. You know, that's the reality of that.
Can I make a comment about that?
Of course.
So I understand what you're saying, and I agree what you're saying, but I feel like, you know, the male species has to come forward and speak up. Women, I might not agree with the whole complete Me Too movement, but, like, maybe men need to have a movement saying, you know, you can't do this certain thing to us either. You're right, because I probably could go rub on a man's chest or feel on a man. It doesn't even have to be anywhere privately, but I can go rub on a man's head. If he did that to me, it would be taken a whole different way. So if men want to make a change, then men maybe have to step up and try to make that change, like, I don't see anywhere where men are like, hey, women, you can't come fill on us. Men are probably screaming, hey, women, come fill on us. Like, if going to change,
most
like, men
women,
have to
I think
step up.
You're right. I think you're right in most cases when we talk about most women, you know, but I've been in situations where I'm like, I'm completely turned off. I really want nothing to do with you, you know. And in actually, Law and Order actually had an episode where there was a therapist on trial. She was on trial for rape of a man. And the whole question of that trial was, can a woman rape a man? Not necessarily can a woman, like, you know, force her way into his area, but, like, in general, for a man to have sex, he has to be erected, you know. So with that being said, that was the whole question of that legal case, right? So, I mean, I agree with what you're saying. I definitely understand. But at the same time, it's the freedom. The freedom of being able to go and be yourself and be open without having to face the consequences of going to jail. Not saying that you can't face rejection. Not saying that the man doesn't have the right to say no. And that turns me to the next point that I really want us to focus on. It's not even just, you know, the rape or being forced, but more importantly, sexual harassment. And the reason why I say sexual harassment is because today we see sexual harassment can mean many different things. Sexual harassment has been sexual harassment claims and complaints have been filed on simply because a man looked at a woman. There was a case. There was a study shown of a woman. It was a white woman in sweatpants with a ponytail with a book bag and a camera on the back of it that was small enough that most people could not see, and she walked down New York. And they recorded how many men looked at her, how many men catcalled her, or whatever the term is. And it was an absurd amount, and it sparked conversations throughout the nation, you know, of is this how many times women go through the day being sexually harassed. So, you know, I think, you know, as far as that statement in general, that goes into the sexual harassment zone. So what do we consider sexual harassment? I would definitely, especially if we have any female callers, I'd definitely like for you to dial 516-531-9540 because I definitely would like to get your voices heard and really, you know, talk on that topic, because a lot of times we can stop things before it goes to the extreme level. Once again, the number is 516-531-9540. Press 1 if you have a question or comment. But until we get another caller, Cheryl, what do you think about that?
I don't think looking at someone is sexual harassment. But then again, maybe it is. By definition, no, it's not sexual harassment. Sexual harassment is inappropriate sexual remarks or physical advances. So when you're saying looking at someone, I guess a woman could feel uncomfortable if she's being looked at. I do not think that someone looking at me could make me feel uncomfortable. But if you're just going to look at me and stare at me, seeing that I'm uncomfortable, then that's just weird and creepy. Then I feel like someone's going to feel violated. But at the same time, I feel like some women wear things to get that kind of attention and then don't like it when they get that kind of attention. Like if you have your breasts out, you have on just tight pants, really showing your body, I feel like men are going to look like women. You have the right to wear whatever you want, but I mean, I think certain things are just going to come along with that territory.
Well, a question on that, you know, leggings is very popular in today's society. You know, those are considered to be, you know, regular pants that they can wear, you know, by themselves. So sometimes they're also considered to be, you know, accessories that some women wear underneath their dresses or wear underneath their skirts and things of that nature. And a lot of times, you know, from my experience when I've talked to women, you know, about leggings, I'm like, you know, well, you see that it shows every single thing that a man can possibly want to desire, and even females who look at women in that manner. And the answer to me that was given on numerous occasions was, well, this is comfortable. Why should I be subjected to your views and your thoughts of me because I want to dress comfortable? What are your intakes on that?
I agree. They are comfortable. I like leggings. I understand if I have on leggings, somebody might look a little bit more because they kind of accentuate your shape when you have it on. Mm-hmm. Like you can see like the exact shape of your body. If they fit right, I understand that. But when it comes to women being uncomfortable, I feel like as a man, it's like, are you a creep or not? Like, I feel like get your looks in if you want, but just don't go up to a woman and start staring at her. Like, if you're going to look when she ain't looking. Like, have some respect. Like, just don't stare at her being, like, a creepy person when she's trying to, like, get you to look away. Or you can see that she's uncomfortable. I mean, I feel like common sense comes into play with that. Like, I prefer mm-hmm. leggings. I love wearing leggings. But if, like, you're just going to stare at somebody, like, I'm staring at you, but I'm not touching you, so you can't do anything about it, I just feel like that's just creepy.
Oh, no, that's what I think definitely about understand that. Do you feel violated as well?
I think if a man is just staring at a woman, I mean, sometimes women might like it, they might want it, and I feel like if they both like it, then I love it. But if you just see that somebody's uncomfortable and you're staring at them, then you should look away. And I think, like, if you're a man looking at a woman, you should just look away in general. If she sees you looking at her, like, turn your head. I feel like turning your head is having some respect for the woman, that you're just not going to sit there and stare at her like she's a piece of meat. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, women aren't always just bringing that attention just to get looks. Like, leggings, yes, they're comfortable. Like, there's a lot of women who wear workout gear when they're working out. They may be somewhere out. Like, it's not always intentionally to give the wrong attention, even though you might be wearing something that's maybe tight or revealing. It just comes down to, like, the other person who's looking. Like, I just wouldn't stare at someone. Like, there's levels to that. Like, if you're a man who wants to be seen as a creep, then I guess you do that. But I feel like if you're going to do that, know that people are going to look at you funny. People are going to think that you're creepy. They're probably going to think you're a rapist. Because when you do things like that, people are going to start calling you other names. That just comes with territory.
No, and I understand that. Now, what about on the flip side? Let's take a man's perspective on this thing, okay? Just being devil's advocate. You know, what if we feel uncomfortable because you're wearing these things? Obviously, we're attracted to it. Obviously, we don't want to be put in those types of situations. We have harsh temptations just daunting at our face. And we didn't ask for you to wear such a thing like that. We didn't ask for a woman to, for us to be so attracted to a woman. Not necessarily that we touch, but we do look. What about that? And if we have any, especially women callers, and also men, you know, I'm not discriminating against my men, feel free to dial 516-531-9540 +1, and I'll get your question or comments if we have any callers out there that want to make any comments or questions.
I get what you're saying about a man, but it's like, do you have control or not? Because if you see somebody wearing leggings and, you know, you're just ready to take your clothes off, then you probably have a little bit of a problem if you can't handle it. Even if you see a woman in tight booty shorts and her booty cheeks are hanging out, her breasts are out, like, if you cannot control yourself, I mean, I think that, you know, you may need to get help.
My question is, I guess my question is, well, a man is controlling himself. He's not touching her. He's not getting involved in her personal space. He's just looking from the comfort from the area that he or she, because women are attracted to women, you know, regardless of what the case may be, you know. And then two, when you say that you see a woman look, you should look away in respect of someone that wants you to look. They look at you, and the real question is sometimes to some women, not all, some women is a challenge. It's like, hey, I'm looking at you because I know most men are going to look away. Most men are going to put their head down or whatever the case may be. I want to find that guy's going to look me right back in my eye and let me know, yeah, I'm looking at you and I want you. What about the, well, I mean, like, how do you really tell the difference? How do we know the difference? And not, I mean, obviously we had those extreme circumstances where a person feels extremely violated and they show physically, even vocally, you know, the discomfort. But like in initial, you know, how does a person supposed to navigate that?
I mean, I think if you're interested in the person, then maybe you should go up and have a conversation with that person and maybe see if that person is interested in you. And maybe you'll be mm-hmm. lucky enough to look at them at a different time. But mm-hmm. let's say a person is with someone else. They're with their other, well, not their other, but if they're with their significant other or something, or they're with their kids, or they're with their family, or they could just be alone, but do you feel like men just feel the need to, like, keep looking, or can you not turn your head?
I mean, I think when a woman starts asking a man to turn their head, I think a woman should really start asking herself, what am I doing to draw such attention? You know, because at that point in time, I feel like the woman is coming out of herself and trying to control someone else's mindset in their eyes. Like, if a woman is walking down the street, you know, I'll give you a great example. Let's say a woman walks into the workplace, okay? We've been working all day. She decides she wants to work out after work. And before work is over, she goes and she wants to change, and she springs on these tight leggings, super tight, and a sports bra. And she has an attractive body. She's an attractive woman, you know, and in her mindset, I'm about to go work out. What? This is what I wear to work out. You know, at my point in time, if you don't want a person looking at you, man or woman, you know, why are you wearing such things that broadcast, look at me, you know? Or let's say a woman's in the store and she got on a tight skirt, tight short skirt or the dress or whatever the case may be, because a woman knows how to get the attention that she wants. A woman knows how to, you know, try to get that attention. You know, so I think that, you know, we have to caution ourselves when we say, hey, man, just look away. Hey, man, you know, it's on you. I think, you know, women have to take some respect and some accountability on their actions as well, on how they present themselves to the public. You know, I think women have to take some accountability on, you know, how the public views them. You know, and I know our time is running out. We have probably about another minute and 30 seconds. If there's any callers that want to have a question or comment, now is the time. If we have any callers on the line, share until we get another caller. Do you have any comments or last words?
Yes, I have a quick question for you. So you're a man, you have a workplace. So in your instance, you're a man, you can be honest. So if you see your coworker comes to your work, she has on leggings and a sports bra about to go work out, like,
mm-hmm.
would you take a quick glimpse, or would you just want her to see you staring at her? Or would you,
I want,
you know,
both.
I mean, you're a man, you can look.
Yeah, I mean, I want to see her. I want,
fly.
I mean, I'm not every guy, but for me, I want the girl to see me looking at her, because I want her to know that I'm interested. I want her to know that I notice her beauty. I want her to notice that I notice the effort and work that she's putting in. I want her to know that I'm showing her. Thank you guys. I hope you enjoyed the show.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and copy.